Just heard in Judy's news, the president speaking in Dallas, very passionate reaction to what happened last week. Gary McCarthy, the former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department, is joining us right now on the hotline. And Gary, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Gary.
Hey, Will. How you doing? Hey, Anna.
Well, sir, thank you.
Yeah.
The president said as part of the speech today that this country is not as divided as some people think that it is on these lines, and the fact that that so many people have come out to support the police in the aftermath, and whether it's the central core of Black Lives Matter or other activists around the country, they don't necessarily represent. I'm paraphrasing now. Obviously, the president didn't say exactly this because he wanted to give some credit to Black Lives Matter. But that they don't represent the true nature of how people respect police. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's an awful long statement to agree with the whole thing. I think by saying that, you know, the vast majority of people in this country respect the police, that's true. But I think that the incredibly vocal minority do not respect the police. And I have this thing that I've been kind of storming in my mind that has to do with the whole issue of noncompliance and the lawlessness that we're seeing. And some people may not want to admit it, but, you know, first of all, none of these young black men needed to die in my book, not one of them. Hmm. And at the end of the day, many of those incidents started with a noncompliance to the police officer. Now, we have an obligation under the law, under the United States law, under the Constitution of the United States. We give up certain freedoms so that we can live in a civilized society. And those freedoms, are preserved by rules. And one of those rules of law is that you must comply with the police officer's direction. That noncompliance leads to a confrontation. Now, it doesn't have to end in the use of deadly physical force. It doesn't have to. And mistakes have been made, and where appropriate, police officers should be prosecuted. But the problem is that noncompliance is being legitimized. And it's being legitimized on a number of different levels, starting with activists, starting with organized activities, starting with disorganized activities, and moving up the chain to elected officials, right up, I'll say, to the Department of Justice, who is, you know, reinforcing some of these bad ideas, like, for instance, the ACLU putting forth that we shouldn't be stopping people disproportionately based upon a population demographic. At the end of the day, the law says, based upon a Supreme Court decision of Terry versus Ohio in 1968, that the police can stop somebody based upon articulable, reasonable suspicion. If we went to court and said we stopped somebody based upon a population demographic, which is the standard that the ACLU has now pushed forward, that the Department of Justice has adopted, the Supreme Court would say that that was unconstitutional. So the noncompliance issue, in my book, is being legitimized, and that has the potential to erode the foundation and lead to the lawlessness that we're seeing across places like Chicago right now.
And that's an interesting way of looking at it. I would agree. I think noncompliance cannot work you can't foster positive relations between police and citizens if there isn't a compliance and a respect for police officers, knowing that there are some, you know, some bad eggs amongst them. What do you think about the traffic stop in general, though, Gary? I want to ask you because I know they can be one of the most dangerous events an officer can face, but they can also yield positive results. And we've seen this over and over. I mean, Timothy McVeigh was caught because he had a license plate that was out of date. And there have been so many other issues like Andrew Cunanan, the one who murdered, Miglin here, and then Gianni Versace. He was caught through a parking ticket. I mean, there are issues. Sometimes these
Son
things
of Sam. Son of Sam in New York back in the day in my old neighborhood.
So is it bad?
A parking ticket.
Exactly. Son of Sam. So is it bad for everybody if officers slow down the number of stops and, you know, minor violations, calling out minor violations, is that bad?
Of course it is. I'm a big believer in broken windows, fixing broken windows. My dad was a Marine Corps drill instructor, and I learned very early in life that taking care of the little things prevents the big things. And You know, I want to be clear here, Anna. While there are going to be some police officers, because they're human beings and, you know, they're civil servants, will throw up their hands and say, you know, that's what you get when you get involved, so I'm just not going to get involved. There's going to be a percentage of those, no two ways about it. But the vast, vast majority of police officers in this country are still out there pursuing and doing the right things. And the problem is, you know, for instance, nobody here seems to understand that what was called a contact card in the city of Chicago is now called, I believe, an ISR, an investigative stop report. And it's 2 pages long, where it used to be the size of an index card. You can't possibly do as many stops, cross all the T's and dot all the I's, which is what you have to do in this environment to protect yourself, and do it in the same amount of time that you used to do it. That was legislated by Springfield, by something called, the Police Community Relations Act, Improvement Relations Act, something along those lines.
It's after the IPRA investigation, and it's after Laquan McDonald.
You can't legislate good policing.
Right. Well, this is something that is just also, this just needs to be addressed, that what you have in Chicago, you have it around the country in other cities too, in other communities as well, but what you have in Chicago is you have a high density of criminal activity in African-American neighborhoods. It's just a reality. There is just you can't sugarcoat it. You can't take it back. We can talk around the issue, but it is, and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with, it doesn't have to be a racist statement. I mean, there's racists who, you know, want to use that as, you know,
it's
as
not
a reason.
They're black.
Right.
It's not because they're black that those conditions exist.
Right.
It's because of social and economic things that are impacting those communities negatively.
And that's the issue. And the issue is that all exists. And so criminal behavior that is passed down generationally, because it becomes the family business, essentially. If you look at the gangs, right? If you look at certain, there are, you know, grandkids and you know, kids, grandkids, in some cases, great-grandkids, who are in the same, you know, wearing the same white T-shirts that grandpa wore on the street when he was hustling. It's the same. It is. It's a reality that needs to be addressed. It's a cycle.
It's a cycle.
How do we interrupt that?
I'm not positive how we interrupt it, because that's a real big sociological issue. But what I can tell you is this: one of the things that people may not realize, there's this concept called legal cynicism, and it grows out of what you just described, and the conditions in the disenfranchised communities that generally are going to be African-American in this country, African-American and Hispanic, and the poverty, the lack of education, the rampant narcotics, the breakup of the family unit, the joblessness, mm-hmm. the hopelessness that grows out of it, all those bad social conditions causes anger, right? People are angry, and they're angry about a government system that is not working for them. Mm-hmm. It's obviously failing where they are. The most visible component of that failed government system is the police. And this concept of legal cynicism revolves around this, in that the anger becomes focused on the police. And then we do something stupid. We have a bad shooting. We have a death in custody that shouldn't happen. And those individuals should be prosecuted. But they also are entitled to the same protections under the Constitution as John Q. Citizen, who's accused of the same crimes.
Do you think that there are activists out there who are trying to diminish police protection in neighborhoods so that some sort of political or economic advantage can be taken by those activists or people who are employing them?
That's a very strong possibility. They're looking for two separate systems of justice. And by the way, it's probably a good time to remind everyone that we still haven't heard from the federal grand jury. I don't think so. In the Laquan McDonald case, that everybody was calling for a federal investigation. Well, you got it. And when you don't like the results, somebody has to get blamed, right?
Right.
Yeah. And we know who that was.
All right.
So,
Gary, thank you very much.
A lot to talk about.
Yeah,
lots to digest. You're right,
there
but it's interesting
is.
To hear your perspective.
Yeah. All right. Well, appreciate your time. Thanks very much, Gary.
Thanks. Pleasure.
Gary McCarthy, former superintendent of the Chicago Police Department.